What a great privilege to serve the Lord. What a great privilege to live in America and have the blessings in this country that are afforded to us by those that gave their lives and in wars, beginning at the Revolutionary War and War of 1812, the Mexican War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, the Vietnam War, Persian Gulf War. Have I missed any? I think that's pretty much it. A lot of wars. A lot of people that died in between those wars for the sake of our country and gave their lives. And we have this Memorial Day today that we honor them by. And what a blessing it is to be on this side of their sacrifice. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Sacrifice. Just praying to the Lord. You know, it's funny how our mind works. I knew I was going to preach, started thinking about, okay, what am I going to preach? What am I going to preach? Finally, I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to preach? You know, I don't know why it happens like that, you know, but it does. And I'm thankful that that he gives me. I just trust this will be a word to the Lord to all of our lives today. Turn in your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 16. Actually, I want to go to Psalms 40 first and then Matthew 16. I've got three scriptures. We'll read them today. They're all relatively short. Stand to honor the word of the Lord, if you would, with me today. You can stand. You don't have to stand if that's very difficult for you. Beginning with Psalms 40. Speaking, it's a prophecy of Jesus, a psalm of David, and a wonderful, wonderful psalm. But these scriptures in verses 6 through 8 are the ones I want to focus on. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. And then Matthew chapter 16, we'll go to Romans 12, 1 and 2 after that. And beginning in verse 24. I think he may have verse 21 up there. I don't know. Verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever desires, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And then finally, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your people who have gathered to honor you on the Lord's Day. And Lord, we ask that as we are here today, you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, that you would change our lives. We would grow into the image of Christ. And we would delight to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is a day that we honor those that made the supreme sacrifice for our country. It's good. Today is not the day. Tomorrow's the day. But for so many years, I've often preached, not all the time, but often preached something around Memorial Day on that Sunday. So my mind can get very confused. The freedoms today we enjoy are a result of that sacrifice. One of the people that many people in Knox area, and I'm a little more familiar with the story of Ross McGinnis, the young man that was in a Humvee, and as they were doing a tour through a town, one of the enemy threw a grenade into the Humvee, and in a moment, a quick decision called out, grenade, and then threw himself on it to protect his comrades. I don't know what I'd have done. I may have jumped that in that moment, but in that moment, he saved the life of his comrades. Just in that split moment. What an amazing story. What an amazing sacrifice of his life. He had his whole life ahead of him, had a girl he loved that he had met in Germany, as I understand it, and had a family back home, had friends and people that loved him, and gave it up for the life of his comrades and for our country. That story could be retold over and over again. A couple years ago, I read the book Beyond Valor about a man named Red Irwin. He was from Birmingham, Alabama, had met and married a young woman that he thought was the most beautiful woman in the world. All our husbands feel like that about their wives, right? That's the way I feel. And so anyway, he was in the Air Force, and they were doing a bombing mission toward Japan, and as they were a part of the lead group, and so one of the he was a radio man. One of his responsibilities was to drop the bombs. You know, he did his radio work, but he was right in the same place where you pulled the lever, pushed the button. I don't know what they did, and it's been a while since I read the book, but he did the work of dropping the bombs. And since they were in the lead in their airplane, they marked the spot where the bombs needed to be dropped. And so they would drop a phosphorus bomb in order to mark that, and that would, you know, light up the sky, and the other planes that were in their squadron of planes could see it and drop the bombs at that location. So Red, when it was time and they hit that spot, he pulled the lever for the phosphorus bomb to drop, and it didn't drop, but it went off right on the floor where he was. It began filling the whole plane immediately with smoke, and it was burning him at that moment. And you have to understand that the phosphorus is immensely, immensely hot. And it's laying on there, it's burning. He has a split instant to decide
what he could do, what he should do. He, in the meantime, feels burning up. And so he was a Christian, loved the Lord, was faithful to God, read the Word. And he just said a quick prayer, "Help me, Lord." And immediately, he heard voices saying, "You can do it. You can do it." Because he was thinking about picking up the bomb, the phosphorus bomb. He had to get it to a window. And I think he started yelling, "Open the window, open this window." And so that's what he did. He reached down, he grabbed the bomb. And as quickly as he could, in a matter of seconds. You know, that's what amazes me about both Ross and about Red. They had a moment. There's probably, this story could be told by other individuals again and again that did similar type things. In a moment, they decide what to do, to sacrifice themselves. He grabbed the bomb, burning heat, but the amazing thing is that, as the story goes, he felt no pain. He felt no pain. He had asked the Lord for help, and he heard these voices. He thought they were angelic voices. "You can do it. You can do it." He grabbed the bomb, ran for the window, and dropped it out, and then collapsed. Unlike Ross, he survived, but he spent several years in healing, because the phosphorus goes into the skin and continues to burn in the skin. And that went on for a couple weeks. And the surgeons had to slowly work it out. He had many, many operations to do that. He continued to serve the Lord. He continued to serve in the Army for a little time and then volunteered his life to work at the veterans. So, life's given for somebody else. And Red's sacrifice saved not only his plane and the people that were in the plane, but because that phosphorus bomb was so close to the other bombs, if it would have hit them, it would have exploded throughout the sky and wiped out many of the other planes. And because he did that, he saved those people. Because he served and many, many others served, we have the liberties we have today. How thankful we should be. But I want to call us today, because there is an army for this country, there is the military and its various branches for this country that sacrifice both their time, the people that don't die. Oh, we should be thankful for them, and we celebrate it on other days, sacrifice in other ways for our country, for our freedom. But we are to be a part of the army of God, are we not? I hope you're a part of the army of God. I hope you see yourself like that. I hope you see yourself as a disciple of Jesus. If any man will follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, that emblem of death, that emblem of suffering, and follow me. That's what Jesus calls us to right from the beginning. That's what he said to his disciples right from the beginning of our spiritual walk. There is a call to discipleship. I remember, you know, I gave my heart to the Lord, but it took me a little while to understand discipleship and the lordship of Christ, and that Jesus wants everything in our lives. I had a tendency, I'll be honest, not every time the Lord says something have I said yes. You know, I don't know if I'm 100%. I know I knew a minister, you know. I just was transparent in a conversation with him and a few other ministers and said, I don't know if I'm perfectly under the lordship of Christ, 100%. And he said, oh, it's all or nothing. He went on and on. And you know where what's he messed up his church. It was his way or the highway for all of, you know, his people. I dealt with numerous problems as a presbyter for with his situation. He wound up divorcing his wife and leaving her for another woman. So let's not brag how much we're under the lordship of Jesus. Amen. But let's pursue that. Let's pursue the lordship. Let's pursue an all-out sacrifice of our lives, a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1. I beseech you. And that word beseech in the Greek means I call you. There's a divine calling upon us to become living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto our God, which is our reasonable service. It's just reasonable. Why is it reasonable? Because Jesus died for us all. He laid down his life for us. He was a living sacrifice. He shed his blood for us and endured the greatest pain, endured the greatest punishment of all time. And others have died on the cross, but nobody carried the sin of the world. And there was pain in that, I assure you of this. Nobody else carried the sin of the world upon his heart and his life like Jesus. Nobody else has done that. So, he calls us all to that kind of life, to take up our cross. The Christian life is our example, Christ is our example of the sacrificial life. Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will. Now, I just want to go to that, and I just want to talk a little bit about the biblical idea of sacrifice. Most of us understand that many animals in the Hebrew religion were sacrificed. And they were for different reasons. Most of them, in some way, point to the sacrifice that Jesus would be as a sacrificial lamb for the covering, the passing over of the pain of death and sin, as it was in the Exodus, for our deliverance, for our healing, for our salvation, for all the spiritual blessings and physical blessings that we receive in our relationship with Christ. Most of those point directly to Jesus, and there's many of them, and we don't have time to go into all that today. But in general, that's what those animal sacrifices were for. In Leviticus chapter 1, you'll see the very first chapter is about the burnt offering sacrifice. Now, the burnt offering sacrifices, first, you could use a bull. And generally, and they all had to be male sacrifices, male animals. And you could use a bull. If you were wealthy, you would probably do that. If you were middle income, you would probably use a lamb, or you could use a goat. And then you could, if you were very poor, you could buy a dove and use a dove to sacrifice that dove. I don't know how you find out whether it's a male or female dove. I haven't figured that out yet. But somehow you must do that. And they had a means of, you know, doing each sacrifice, but that was a burnt offering sacrifice. And that's what Paul, when he says in Romans 12:1, he says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to become a living sacrifice. He's referring to the burnt offering sacrifice. Are you a burnt offering Christian? Are you ready to be killed, slain, divided up, placed on the altar, and burnt? And then in verse 2, it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good and acceptable will of God. Well, the burnt offering sacrifices was placed on the offering. The fire came, and then it was consumed and transformed as it rose to heaven, which is a picture of our transformation. We have a journey to heaven. You know how it happens? Daily, giving our lives to Christ as a sacrifice, taking up our cross, our emblem of death, and living for Him on a daily basis. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, because He died for us, He calls us to this great exchange of our lives. Salvation is free. It's free, but there is an exchange. It doesn't cost you money. I got to tell you this story just because it's fun. Bill Matthews, many of you know Tim, he was Tim's uncle, and he wanted to go to church. He called Tim, and he said, I want to go to church. And Tim says, well, I'll come and pick you up and take you. So he did, and he came, and when he asked him, he says, well, how much will it cost? It won't cost you anything, Tim said. Just come to church. They'll take an offering, but you don't have to give to it. You don't need to do that. And so he came to church that Sunday, and we had a missionary from Spain, Bill Jackson. Yeah, Bill Jackson. Simple message, about missions and reaching people, and gave a salvation call at the end, and Bill came forward and gave his life to Christ. I go out the next Tuesday and follow up and want to talk to him, about his assurance of salvation, And so I go through a few scriptures and I ask him, Bill, are you assured of your salvation? I go through, John 5, and the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, Romans 8. And I said, do you have that assurance that you're saved? And he says, well, how much does this insurance cost? Isn't that fun? But I always love, going to people so much they don't understand, but the life of that. We have an assurance of our salvation. Why I got on that story, I don't know, but Jesus died for us. We can have an assurance of our salvation. There is a great exchange of our lives that He calls us to in this sacrifice of His life. And so He calls for our daily sacrifice because He gave Himself for us and paid the ultimate price. We read in these parts, but in 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That precious blood was like no other blood in the world. It wasn't just human blood. It was the blood of the Son of God. It was divine blood. He was born of a virgin, but His Father was God. So it was like no other blood in the world. And that's why the blood of Jesus is so vital for you to have washing away your sin and your life. And then it goes on, and or it doesn't go on, but in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. I have to remind myself of that. I'm not my own. Sometimes I think I'm retired now. I could do just as I please. No, I can't do just as I please. I can't do just as I please. I'm bought with a price. Whatever he wants me to do at any given time. I want to go fishing. He wants me to go to church. It's right. I don't go for this thing, you know. Oh, my church is out in the woods on Sundays. I just love, and I worship out there. Oh, I go to, to the lake or to the river, and I go fishing, and that's where my cathedral is. Oh, that's a bunch of baloney. That's just a bunch of baloney. Jesus died for your sins. He calls you, listen to this word, to honor him. To honor him. With your gathering together on the first day of the week. Now, it may not be Chapel on the Hill. It may be another church. It may be, I know some people, they just can't, you know, they just can't get this. But listen, he's called, he has given his life for the people of God. Not for you, just you as a person. You know, we often talk about, if it was just for me, Jesus would die. And that may be true. But listen, when he died for you, he died for all of us. And you are his people. Together we are his bride. I'm not his bride by myself. I'm a real man. That's right. I don't go for that stuff. But all together, we are the bride of Christ. And we are called to come together, to honor him and to worship him. And that's better than fishing. I love fishing. I went a couple times this week. But I love to be in the house of God, and I learned to love to be in the house. When I was a kid and didn't know the Lord and was a teenager, I didn't like going there. And I told my mom, I was a junior in high school, I'm not going anymore. And I didn't go. You can't make me. I was very rebellious. I don't want to go into all that, but you can't make me. But when I came to Jesus, there was nothing like coming to the church. And I love it more and more as the days go on, to come and to sing praise, to come and worship, to come and hear somebody preach the word of God. Oh, how great is it? Every time I come, I hear something that renews my spirit and ignites my life. Every time I come, I love the worship, our worship team. I've always loved the people who have led worship here, but man, it just gets better and better. It gets better and better. I love what you folks do in leading us in worship. I love the sacrifice that you give to be there. To the time you give. God bless you. But everybody, the sacrifice of people teaching Sunday school, kids, people serving together in for kids' church and kids' crusades and reach out for the teenagers, reaching and reaching them, and sometimes that hard, but you're serving because you love Jesus and you want other people to know Jesus. You want people to be disciples and be a part of the army of God. Keep going when you're involved like that. And if you're not involved in some way, talk about so many. I was looking over here at Tammy and her sister Denise and the ladies that work at the funeral dinners, and the other dinners. God bless them. God bless them. Finding ways, and there's other ways to serve the Lord that may not be connected to church. It may be some ladies' Bible study, and I love what happens with Lioness League. I don't go, but I love seeing people, you know, get connected with the Lord. Why? Because of people that are willing to lay down what they want on any given day and do something for the Lord, something for His honor, something for His glory. It's a matter of duty, too. It's fun. It can be wonderfully fun. My greatest thrill, not too long ago, in fact, just last Sunday and before that, I led somebody else to the Lord. That young man, Noah, that came to the Lord. He said, I want to give my life to the Lord. And had the privilege, and several of us had the privilege of praying for him. Boy, that lights my fire. I mean, when you get opportunities, sometimes just to witness, you may not be able to lead somebody to the Lord, but you get opportunities to witness and share the love of Christ and share the truth of the gospel. And feel a soul reaching out in some way. I'll tell you, that's good stuff. It doesn't get any better than those times and opportunities when the Spirit's moving in your life. Get a chance to pray with somebody. Sometimes when I was preaching, and when I was, I'm still a preacher, I'm not a pastor anymore. But I was a pastor, and I'd be called out in a time to go to the hospital, go to a situation, and maybe it would be just a night where I'm relaxing at home, or sometimes it would be at a time when family was there and we were doing something. That didn't happen too much, but it happened at different times. One time I was called, we were at my mom and dad's over the 4th of July and weekend, and I was called to the Pittsburgh Hospital for a little boy that was had to have a surgery with his colon and so forth, and you know, it was in the middle of the night. I wound up getting home about 3 in the morning, and but you know what? Sometimes I'd go grumbling, but I'd come home feeling good. I'd come home feeling good that I had obeyed the Lord, that I'd done something for somebody else. And, you know, it's funny how it starts. You know, oh, why did this have to happen now? You know, others of you have had similar experiences where you were called upon to do something for the Lord, or do something just out, you know, it may not seem like it's for the Lord, but it's for somebody else, and when it's for somebody else, it's for the Lord. And so you think, oh, do I have to do this? And duty calls. We've made duty a bad word in the church. Oh, you have to come to, you know, people say, well, I didn't want to have to come to church out of duty. Well, that's a pretty good reason to go to church. Think about it. I have a duty because Jesus had a duty to die for me. At Calvary, Jesus gave his life for that. Did he feel like it? No, he said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He sweat great drops of blood over the whole thing in Gethsemane. And we think, oh, this isn't an opportune time. This is a situation I don't like. But when you feel the duty, when you feel the duty, when you feel the conviction, I have to do this because someone needs me and the Lord's calling me to help them. It could be anywhere from helping on a building project to go on a missionary trip to just having to sweep the floor at church or go help somebody in a situation where there's a big mess and you've got to help clean up. Duty. It's a good word. You know you've got to do something. See, that's what sacrifice is. Sacrifice isn't something you always want to do. Sometimes it can be. We sing the sacrifice of praise, and sometimes when you're praise, you know, the Bible talks about that sacrifice of praise, and when you're worshiping the Lord, I just love to do it. It's not hard to do it 99% of the time, and I enter into the Spirit, and the joy of the Lord fills my soul in the presence of God, and so it's a good thing, but sometimes you're just not quite there. You might be feeling a little off that day, maybe a little sick or something else, but you're there, and the sacrifice of praise, you step into it, and just about 99% of that time, you enter into the presence of the Lord, and you're lifted out of yourself into his presence, into his goodness. Sacrifice is something that we don't always want to do, but we do it to honor God. We do it to fulfill our duty. We do it because it's right. You never know when you're, even as a Christian, when you're going to be in a circumstance like Ross McGinnis or Red Irwin, when you'll only have a moment to make a decision. It's not always to give your life in that decision. Sometimes it can. But sometimes you only have a second or a moment to make a decision to serve the Lord and an opportunity to do something for him or for somebody else. And you have to make a quick decision. It needs to be a part of your life and a part of your heart. Let's make the right decision. Amen? Let's make the sacrifice. Nothing significant happens without sacrifice. If you have a goal in life, if you have a sport or a business, or you're part of a workforce, or you're trying to achieve some place in the workforce, or you're trying to move forward academically, you have to make sacrifices for it. That's just the way it is. We have millions of people today that don't want to make any sacrifices for anything in their lives. But if you're going to achieve something, if you're going to try to be the best at something that you do, whether it's a carpenter, whether it's a janitor, and I think whatever you try to do, you ought to do a good job at it. Can I hear an amen on that? As Christians, we need to just think that work is a thing that you make a part of your life. Need to know how to work, need to do the best job that you can do. You need to learn when you work. And if you go to it, it can make it a long day that you may not want to work seem very short if you get into it and do it with your might. Okay, that's a whole nother sermon. But nothing significant happens without sacrifice. If you want to excel in sports, you have to sacrifice time for other things. If you want to achieve goals in any particular realm of life, you have to sacrifice some other things. To get one thing, you often have to let go of another thing. That's the way life works. If you want to have a good friendship, you make sacrifices for the friendship. If you want to have a relationship with a young lady, or as a young lady have a relationship with a man, maybe get married someday. Listen, you can't have it all your way all the time. Trust me. Learn to say yes, dear. I'll never forget Bill, our plastering, Bill Bell. He and his wife had 50 years of marriage. I asked him in front of the congregation, what's the secret to the longevity of your relationship and of your marriage? Bill stood up and he said, learn to say yes, dear. Amen. As you wish. Amen. Amen. It takes sacrifice. And when you have children, you got to learn to sacrifice. Some people don't want to make sacrifices for their wives or their husbands. You know? You've got to do it. If you want to have a great relationship, that's what love does. Love sacrifices. If you love our country, you'll make sacrifices. Maybe you're not in the military, but will you please go out to vote? I'm not getting political on one side or the other side. I'll wait till October or November for that. But I want to say, if you love your country, you will register to vote and you will vote. You will participate in the process. Amen. Give a clap offering to the Lord for that. What a gift we, I mean, here's people, many people that have died for our country, many people who've made sacrifice after sacrifice just serving in the military. And we who have not, I never did. My dad was in the Navy, but I never did. But we ought to go at least go out and vote. And not just on presidential election times. Church. You know, God bless the people who sacrifice to build the kingdom of God. To make a church great. Lots of churches, there's hundreds of them everywhere. You know, they started out strong and they had many years of success maybe. And then they get down to 25 people. 20 people, 15 people, probably because somebody had to have their own way and not everybody agreed with them. Sometimes it's a preacher. Sometimes it's a powerful deacon board member. Sometimes it's different situations and can't get along, can't make a sacrifice of your opinion. Think about that. In my opinion, or this is right, this is wrong. We've got to learn to love each other. Amen? And look past the opinions. Oh, don't get me going. Sacrifice. You know, there's an apathy in our society today. We feel it. You know what it's about? It's simply about our unwillingness to make sacrifices for our God-given values. We have to make choices in sacrifice. Is everything worth, you know, a sacrifice? I don't think so. Should I sacrifice my family for work? Or business or some other realm? You know, years ago I heard Jimmy Johnson and an article about him. I don't know if he said it himself, but it was the idea that because he was a coach of the Dallas Cowboys and he was so involved in that and made so many sacrifices for that, he sacrificed his first marriage. Well, I would say it's not worth it. That person you made vows to is worth the sacrifice of whatever position. Should I sacrifice my relationship with God for a relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend as a teenager or as a young person? Should I say that, well, you know, I believe God, but this person doesn't believe, and so I'll continue my relationship with them and get married to them, though it may cost me spiritually. No, I'll sacrifice. The sacrifice comes in. I'll sacrifice my feelings and my emotions for my honor and obedience to God and believe Him to give me the person of His choice. Oh, am I glad that worked out for me. You know, the devil laid some traps for me before I knew Christ and a little bit after I knew the Lord. But I found the one, or was maybe she found me. Yeah. Okay. Should I sacrifice church to golf, to fish, to hunt? Should I sacrifice church or God for shopping? Should I sacrifice my tithe to buy a new sofa, a new TV, instead of missions giving? Oh, I know it's amen or ouch, right? We all have to make decisions in life. One more story. If you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, you can follow along. And I'm just going to tell the story. Satan had stood up against Israel and tempted David to number the people of Israel out of pride. And so he sent Joab out and the army out that were under him, and they numbered the different. And Joab didn't like it. And it was not only tempted David, it became a sin and a snare to David. And so they came up with the number. I think it was about 15. No, it was 1,500. 100, I don't know, 1,500. No, I'm not saying that right. 1,500,000 there. And that they came up, but it displeased the Lord. And David realized it, and he said, God, I have sinned. And he confessed his sin to God, and the prophet Gad was sent to him. This is a story in the Bible that's less familiar than David and Bathsheba and his battle with Goliath. But it's one of those great stories that reveals the heart, one piece of the heart of David. He said, I've sinned. And Gad said, well, you get a choice of three things. You get a choice of whether 3 years of famine for Israel, 3 months to be defeated by your foes, or and your enemies overtaking you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, which is a plague in the land. David said, I'll fall upon the mercies of God and not upon allow myself to go into the hands of man. What was the other two choices? So he took 3 days of the plague of the Lord. The plague began, and God had sent his angel to Jerusalem after it began in other places. And David saw the angel standing over Jerusalem, and he began to pray. And then the Lord said, it's enough. And as he began to pray, David said, was it not I, Lord, that did this instead of the people? He began to intercede. Let this plague be upon me. Let this plague be upon my family. That's called intercession. When you stand between heaven and earth like Jesus did, and you say, let this problem, let this, what's happening, let it be on me. When you can take the place of somebody else that is sick and say, Father, you don't take their sicknesses, but please understand that you'd say, I feel the pain of that person. I feel the hurt of that person. And you care that much in your prayer. And so David says, let it be upon me. And they were by the threshing floor of Ornan that turned out to be the site where Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. Remember that story? Another powerful story of sacrifice. And Isaac was the emblem of of that which meant everything. Everything in his life Abraham had believed for and lived for was to have a son. God gives him the son finally. And then he hears God saying, sacrifice my son. Oh, that's a whole nother level of sacrifice. And so at that place, the angel of the Lord, after David's prayer, put up his sword. And God spoke to David and he said, I need a burnt offering. And David said to Ornan, sell me this property here. Sell me the property and sell me the bull. And he said, I need to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Ornan said, no. No, David, let me give it to you. I'll just give it to you. Well, that's how we'd like our tithes to be paid, right? Somebody else giving them to us and then we give it. No, David says, I will not sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing. There's something in our sacrifices that cost us, that is meaningful to us, meaningful to the economy of God, meaningful to the pleasure of the Lord. I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. You see, we all want sale days, don't we? The Memorial Day sale. 20% off, 30% off, 50% off, 75% off. Wouldn't it be nice if we had church and it was only 15 minutes long? No. No, David says, make it an hour and a half or 2 hours. Full price. Full price. Because Jesus paid the full price. Jesus paid it all. To all, to him I owe. And he calls you and I. Fall short as we will, he calls you and I to that same exchange. Pay the full price. Don't try to get off with a special sale. There is no such thing. The precious blood of Jesus, the divine blood, is what he paid. And when he calls upon you, be willing to give him all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Blake, if you could come. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for what you've done for us. So much. So much. We thank you for your people that you love with everlasting love. That you had the nails pierce your hands for and your feet for, wounded in the side, bloodied all over for us. You gave your all for us. Thank you, Lord. And you call us to an abundant life, a life filled with blessing, a life filled with joy, a life that can come no other way to us but through your sacrifice. But you also said whoever would lose his life would find it. Help us to lose our lives. In Jesus' name.